From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs of the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Before I introduce this week's guest on Naps Chat, let's talk about some recent postal news. Earlier this month, within hours of each other, both the Postal Service Board of Governors and the Postal Regulatory Commission announced changes to the Postal Service's Federal Employees Retirement System obligations. First, the Board of Governors announced that the Postal Service will temporarily pause its employer's contribution to the Federal Employees Retirement System to conserve cash and enhance cash liquidity within the context of the agency's current financial struggle. The announcement made clear that the Postal Service will continue to transfer to the U.S. Treasury the employee's share of FERS contributions and will transfer to the Thrift Savings Plan both the employee's contributions and the employer's matching contributions. The Postal Service projects that the FERS pause will free up about $2.5 billion in fiscal year 2026. A few hours later, the Postal Regulatory Commission issued an order which potentially may be more consequential than the Postal Service's action. The Postal Regulatory Commission waived for a period of 5 years its previous ruling that required the Postal Service to contribute a portion of postage revenue to fund the agency's periodic FERS amortization payments. This new waiver would expire in the year 2030. The Postal Regulatory Commission projects that the waiver would free up about $2.5 billion in fiscal year 2026 and $3 billion a year through the year 2030. In total, the Postal Regulatory Commission waiver would provide the Postal Service with an additional $15 billion in liquidity over the next 5 years. It is important to note that neither the Postal Service's nor the Postal Regulatory Commission's actions will have any impact on the FERS benefits earned by postal employees. Now let me introduce our guest for today, George Barrett, the winner of the 2026 NAPS Gold Standard Award for Legislative Leadership. The Gold Standard Award is bestowed annually at NAPS's legislative conference to a NAPS member who best exemplifies the skills and dedication essential to advocate on behalf of postal supervisors, managers, and postmasters, as well as retirees. Stanley Gold, for whom the award is named, was a member of NAPS's Miami branch and who for many years effectively and successfully lobbied Congress on postal issues. Even during his later years, blinded by glaucoma, Stanley continued his advocacy activities. George Barrett continues Stanley's legacy of promoting postal interests. George is the immediate past legislative chair of New Jersey and served in numerous elected capacities within NAPS's South Jersey branch, including as its president. Welcome to NAPS Chat, George.
Thank you for the fine introduction, Bob.
Okay, I hope I did you service.
Yes, you did, sir.
George, you achieved the rank of staff sergeant in the U.S. Marine Corps. Semper Fi, George. As a staff sergeant, you were an integral component of platoon leadership. Could you talk about the skills, leadership skills, learned as a U.S. Marine and how those skills may have assisted you as a postal manager?
Yes, Bob. One of the ones that I was taught in the Marine Corps was being on time is actually being late. Being early is being on time. And in the office, I was always there before the employees were required to clock in. The other one was, how can you lead by example if you're not well-groomed and leading by example? You know, I led by having the proper haircut, my boots always being shined, and my uniform being crisp and properly aware. You know, so I made that to my employees in the post office by be sure they were properly dressed. And, you know, in my office, they didn't wear baseball caps that said Philadelphia Phillies or Philadelphia Flyers, because that wasn't the uniform. They were required to wear postal caps because they got a clothing allowance for that.
It's funny, you know, my dad, who was a 30-year employee of the United States Postal Service, said he always felt proud to be a member of the Postal Service, the Postal Family, when he wore the uniform. Is that necessary? Is that true?
Yes, it is. I was very proud to be a postal supervisor, and I took that from the Marine Corps. I was very proud to be a Marine. You know, that's why I became a Marine, because it's the toughest service to enter, getting out of boot camp and going through the rank structure. And when I brought that to the post office, I led that with example. And I loved being well-dressed. When I had to go to the window to speak with a customer, they respected me because I was well-dressed. I wasn't there in a T-shirt or something like that. I meant being well-dressed, the customer respected you too, because that they showed that you represented the position.
George, let's pivot a little bit to legislative activities. And you've attended more than a decade's worth of NAPS legislative conferences in Washington. What do you recall from your first conference, and what makes you come back year after year?
Well, NAPS headquarters brings a great program every year, and it's not the same program every year. They bring well-skilled guests, and you learn from that. And one of the ones that I remember the most goes back about 10 years ago. It had a guest speaker that put up on the screen a pyramid, and it represented how the congressmen and the senators look at different things. Like, you know, down the bottom, maybe this 60% people vote this way, these, but at the top of the pyramid was the 2%ers, the people that donate to them, talk to them, speak to them, write letters to them, because they know they're the ones that are involved. They're not just the ones that show up to vote on voting day. These people are engaged. And I learned from that, and that's why I engage with the congressmen and senators from the state of New Jersey. I just don't go to LTS, go to their office, meet their staff, but when you engage, they recognize you. And I could speak to that for the other night, Monday night last week. I went to a town hall meeting with Congressman Northcross. He came in. He shook a couple hands. He seen me sitting in the front row before he went to the table to get the meeting started. He came over and talked to me. I stood up, shook my hand with him, and we engaged in conversation for about 1 to 2 minutes before he started the meeting. He knew my name by my name. He knows me by face, because I go to town hall meetings and I engage. I challenge him with questions.
Let me follow up on that. As the New Jersey legislative chair, you develop relationships with members of Congress of all political persuasions, including Representative Norcross. But you also develop relationships with Congressman Jefferson Van Drew. And a couple of years ago, I introduced you to the Postal Subcommittee Chairman Pete Sessions of Texas, whom you developed a relationship with. Could you talk about how you established the relationship at the beginning and how you sustained those relationships?
Well, Bob, you met my daughter at the National Convention, and you know she was born with Down syndrome, a neurological disorder. And so you also know that Congressman Sessions has a son with the same disorder as my daughter. So after myself shaking the congressman's hand and starting a little bit of conversation, I said, I've heard, Congressman, that you have a son with Down syndrome. I want to show you a nice picture of my daughter who has Down syndrome. So we were able to talk about Down syndrome for a few minutes, which made us get into a very good conversation. Then we switched it back to the post office. I always try to find something with a congressman or senator that I know about. You know, did they play football in college or were they in the military? And also when I meet a congressman or senator from the state of New Jersey the first time, I hand them a gift. And the gift is a book. And it is How the Post Office Created America. And they look at that and it talks about the post offices going all the way back to, you know, the creation when we started our country with our 13 colonies, how the post office, the Pony Express, and also about how roads were made, how the zip code was made, how the barcode was made, how the post office led the nation in a lot of development.
It's funny because I have that book on my bookshelf as well as I have Spreading the News, which is another book about the Postal Service, and the most recent one called Mailman, which was written by a fellow who was on my podcast a couple of months ago, Steve Grant. So literature is an important, if not an essential, tool in your reaching out to a member of Congress and to familiarizing themselves with our issues. Could you talk about the importance of maintaining continuance contact with a member of Congress, not just once and done at the Washington Legislative Conference or once when you make that initial interaction with the member of Congress, but how can you maintain that contact?
Well, that I believe, is the strong point. It's not a one-time meet and greet. You got to continue to focus on the issue, and that means going to their town hall meetings, going to make another appointment during their different recesses, summer recess, Easter recess. You try to get an appointment, you make an appointment, and you go see them again. And you want to drive your postal issues home. Like I said, it's not just one time. You have to keep driving the point home. Meeting them just once is not going to drive the point home. Many more times, 2, 3, 4 times a year. Because I drive the point home with the senators and the congressmen, the end of election, this was 2025. Well, the last election 2 years ago, I and my brother-in-law, Russ, we were both invited to 3 different congressional parties on election night. We weren't able to go to all 3, so we went to the one in our own district with Congressman Northcross. And again, at that thing, he knew our name, not just our face, but he knew our names because we go to all these town hall meetings. We make meetings with him during the sessions when they're back in office to meet their congressional constituents like me.
Let me just interject here. Russ Carmody, who is your brother-in-law, is also a distinguished NAPS member, and that the events that you were invited to, the victory parties, were from both parties. So it wasn't just one party that you were invited to, correct?
That is correct. Congressman Northcross is a Democrat, and Congressman Van Drew is a Republican, and Senator Kim is a Democrat.
When you go in to meet with your members of Congress, or senators for that matter, how do you prepare for those meetings?
As I said earlier, if it was the first time, I go out and get the book, order it from Amazon, and introduce ourselves with that. But if I've met them before, I don't come a second time or third time with a gift. But always you want to, I try to know something about them. Like I said, Senator Kim. He went to Cherry Hill East High School, and where I live, it's right down the road, you know, and you want to talk about something nice about the area or know something about this, the senator, congressman, did they, like I said before, did they play football? They're a avid baseball fan. So like if I, next time I meet Congressman Northcross, I'm going to say to him, I see you went to that day game over the Philadelphia Phillies game. And that shows that you are engaged with them. You follow them on Facebook, things like that. That's what really drives them home, that you are a concerned constituent of their voting district.
You know, George, is there a difference between lobbying a representative as compared to lobbying a senator? Because you've done both, and you've done both pretty effectively. And there might be distinctions on how you approach those interactions.
Yes, mostly definitely. You know, a congressman is about a district where you live or may be close to living, and situations that are happening in the district, maybe about road development, building a power plant or something like that. But also, you know, then you drive home the postal thing near the end there. Now, a senator, because he's representing a whole state, he's not representing 400 or 500,000 people. A senator is representing like New Jersey. You're talking about 15 million people. So I always keep the sheets are from the LTS or a copy of them, is that I know information like how many post offices are in New Jersey, how many postal employees are in New Jersey, and how many tax dollars the postal employees pay to the federal government. You have to drive that home that you're not just one person. You have the possibility of getting all 30,000 postal employees in New Jersey to vote, and then their siblings and their wives to vote. So you're not just one vote. When you're looked at as 10 votes, but when you can bring up all the employees that you can get to vote, you're a very good voting block.
Now, George, it's not only you that make effective legislative engagement, it's how you encourage other people to do likewise. So I'd like to ask you, within the state of New Jersey, how do you excite members of your branch and state to be as legislatively engaged as you are?
Well, if you sit back and do nothing, don't expect anything. I try to get the people to engage. It doesn't take that much to pick up the phone, to make a phone call to the office, because their aide will write down your name and your address, or email the congressman or the senator. But the easiest way, and I always carry the postal magazine, Postal Supervisor. I have a copy in the car all the time. And the easiest way is what NAPS started a few years ago, NAPS Legislative Campaign, with the QR code. It just takes 30 seconds. You talk to an employee, talk to a retired supervisor, retired employee, and you say, I just need your help. We're working on this issue, HR 70 or SR 147. And all they have to do is hit the QR code with their phone. It automatically, you put your name in there, your zip code, the message is automatically typed, you hit send, and it's off to the congressman or senator's office. I think that is the easiest way to engage, because when you do the QR code and you send a message, you're going to get a response.
How do we bring members to make that next step to not only have this digital communications, but actually meet with their member of Congress or come to our legislative conference, the legislative training seminar? How do we get people to get engaged on that level, a higher level than just using the quick response or QR code that we make available in our magazine?
I say to them, you do not, like I said again, if you don't do nothing, don't expect nothing. If Congress takes away, hypothetically, Social Security, you're the one that has to be concerned, or you're the one to blame because you didn't engage them about it. You have to be engaged all the time. Okay, stay on top of things. I mean, there's no one to blame but yourself if things change and you did nothing about it. And I try to drive that to people every time I see a postal employee or go back to my old office just to say hi, to see who's new and who's retired.
George, you're very familiar with our legislative program for this year, our legislative agenda, what our priorities are. To you, what was the most important issue that you brought to the Hill this year?
I believe, you know, we've been doing for 10 years or more since I've been there. We've been always going to try to get Congress to pass legislation that all supervisors, postmasters, managers are covered under the Merit Service Protection Board. We've been driving that every time we go there. And again, that was my thing, because I believe everyone should have Merit Service Protection.
That's just simple due process.
But, you know, like with that, we've been driving, I call it the Social Security Fairness Act. We've been driving that probably for 40 years. But 2 years ago, we got it across the hill and signed by President Biden. And I know personally people that benefited very, very well, getting checks of $7,000-$8,000 for all the back pay that the government owed them to make. They instead of getting only 2/3 of their Social Security, they got the whole Social Security check that they're entitled to.
George, last question, and I'm going to ask you to search your memory on this one. What is the most memorable interaction you have ever had with a member of Congress?
That was with now Senator Kim. Maps asked me to go to meet him. My brother-in-law, Russ, went with me. And Greg Walker, who now is the president of Branch 74. We went to Toms River, New Jersey, on a Saturday evening to a person's house where he was campaigning. He was not even a congressman at that time. He must have met the threshold that Knapps was looking for. And we went there and we heard him speak in the house. Then we got him out on the porch, just the three of us, Russ, Greg, and myself. We gave him the book and we spoke about the post office. We drove the points that we wanted about the post office and got his feedback. How did he feel about Merit Service Protection? How did he feel about the unfairness in the Social Security Act? And we got them answers that we were looking for, drive points, and he promised us that if he got elected as a congressman, he would co-sign any bills that were available for them.
And this was before he. This is before he was a congressman. And where is he now? He's a United States senator who serves on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, which has jurisdiction over the Postal Service.
Yeah, and that was the most memorable one. So another point, going to meet congressmen and senators. The places you go to meet them, in high school gyms, at a restaurant in New Jersey, in a person's house, at a bar. How it's so amazing that how much they have to do to raise money. I'm just the places you go and the places you see, you know, when you're going to meet these gentlemen. But these are the best places because they're small crowds, only of 20, 30 people.
As they said, if you, and this I think would apply to Senator Kim, if you support me when I'm elected, you have a good member of Congress or a good, great senator. If you support me before I'm a member of Congress or a member of the Senate, you've got a good friend. You think that's accurate?
Very, very true.
Okay, George, I want to thank you. Our guest today has been 2026 Gold Standard Award winner and past New Jersey Legislative Chair, George Barrett. George, thanks for joining us on Naps Chat today.
Thank you for asking the questions, Bob.
And I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on. Please share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make